Praise God, we have completed Romans chapter 5. And if you remember, the key word in Romans chapter 5 was the word kaukomai, K-A-U-K-A-O-M-A-I. And that word that strangely has been translated into different things in Romans chapter 5. We are in chapter 6 today. But just to revise, because chapter 5 and 6 are intimately connected. In chapter 5, verse 2, it says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And it's been translated as the word rejoice in my Bible here, the New King James. And also in the Old King James, it's been translated as rejoice in hope of God, of the glory of God. Then in verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Verse 3, the same word, kaukomai, is translated glory. Now that goes beyond rejoice. It talks about some sort of glorification, overcoming, conquering process. That even when the tribulation is there, the force of God, through kaukomai, is so powerful that you glory in tribulation. You are not pressed down, forsaken, and oppressed, suppressed, depressed, but you glory in it. You overcome it. And it is a deep word that the translators find it very hard to translate. That's why it occurs in three different phrases in the same, even though it's the same Greek word. It translates as we glory in tribulation. You could also put there, we rejoice in tribulation. And the next time it occurs in verse chapter 5 is verse 11. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And it's translated rejoice here in the New King James. And in the Old King James, it is translated as joy. And not only that, but we also joy in God. And we were talking about how that force is released. It's the same force that Paul released when he says that, who is weak, am I not weak? And then he turned around in 2 Corinthians and say, yea, though he is weak, yet he is strong. Because it's not his strength. It's the kaukomai, strength of God flowing through him. In chapter 5, we see everything that God has done. Everything is in Christ. Everything is completed in Christ. The grace of God that is there. It's all completed. All your answers are completed. They are done. They are finished. And we look at this illustration in here. We'll just project it. I believe it's in the my documents, time 01. And it is like God is in the center of all His creation. And imagine all His creation is a circle about Him. And then on the fringe of the circle is where we live on. And there is a time, there is a past, present, and future. All right, can we project that on the screen? The screen is not on. Thanks. And so imagine God living in the center of that circle. And God is the great I Am. For Him, past, present, and future remains the same. As far as they're concerned, they're all in His present. And then in the circumference, we have past, present, and future, the realm that we live in. And what happens is everything is completed in Christ. Right now, as God sits on His throne, everything is present, past, all at the same time. There's no future as far as God is concerned. He was, He is, and He is to come. And right now, God can see clearly every detail. And I'm not talking about just general. You know, we humans, we talk about general things that we plan and project into the future, etc. But for God, it is a very, very detailed, completed picture. Because God knows every choice we would make. And everything is all completed as far as He's concerned. And so what happens is that when we begin to rejoice and give thanks to God, it is like we begin to see from God's point of view that it is completed. That is why one of the strange things in the Hebrew is how they speak about the future as if it's in the present and in the past. For I have made you, past perfect tense, a father of many nations, God told Abraham. Because that is the realm God speaks. And God expects that when we release the force of thanksgiving, we move into His realm and we see it as completed. That moves us into chapter 6. And if chapter 5 is the grace of God, chapter 6 of Romans is the grace of God in us. How that grace of God works in us. We just keep that picture on, thank you. The grace of God in us. And in chapter 6, there are three little key words that flow right through. And there is a development from the Greek word kalkomai. And that's the word know. And if you want to get the Bible translation, you can get the Bible translation projected too. And the words here in chapter 6 was, looking here at chapter 6 of Romans, verse 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves, or know yourselves, to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey. That one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or obedience to righteousness. Now notice how many times he emphasized this phrase. Know this. Know this. Knowing this. Know this. Reckon yourself as this. So there is what I call in chapter 6, a consciousness that must come into our life. A knowing consciousness that must descend upon our lives. Chapter 5 tells us what I call the objective completion. Chapter 6 tells us the subjective experience of what has occurred. Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago. The world has been reconciled. And right now, if anyone says, Jesus, I believe in you, I accept what you have done, they convert the objective into the subjective experience. And so chapter 5 is of the objective completion. Chapter 6 is our subjective experience. And that experience is what I call a consciousness. A consciousness of what has taken place. For those of you who do not read it in the Greek New Testament, there is a play on the words. And there are three different Greek words that are used for the word know. And you read in the English, know that this has happened and that our old man was crucified. Knowing Christ, reckon yourself dead, and all these words know, it looks like it's the same Greek word. There are three Greek words that Paul used when he described this knowing. And it's a process of this consciousness taking place in our lives. The first Greek word is the word found in verse 6, knowing that our old man was crucified. And that word know is the general Greek word for know, which is the word ginosko. Ginosko. G-I-N-O-S-K-O-S. K-O. And that's a Romanized version, ginosko. And it's the word that just generally means knowledge, or to know with our mind or with our understanding. That's the first thing that happened. See, when you hear about Romans 5, yes, Christ has done this. Yes, Christ has done that. Yes, He has done this for me. Yes, He has completed this for me. What happens? Ginosko comes to you. You receive the facts and information of what took place. And you begin to meditate on it and begin to understand this realm that is taking place, this ginosko in your mind, in your understanding. But then it goes one step further. In verse 9, Paul says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Verse 9 is a different Greek word for know. It's the Greek word eideo. E-I-D-E-O. Most of the time, it has not been translated as the word know. And just to give you an example of how the word eideo is used, E-I-D-E-O. It is also from the root word eido, for those of you Greek scholars, oida, eideo, eido, or oida. But here is the word eideo, and most of the time it's been translated not as know, as see. And in Matthew 2 verse 2, it says, we have seen his star. They saw the star in verse 9 in the east. When they saw the star, and Herod, when he saw in verse 16, all these things. And all the time translated as saw, sometimes as the word know, but with emphasis on the seeing part. And all the way in many places translated as saw, see. And like the prodigal father in Luke chapter 15 verse 20, his father saw him and had compassion. And it's been translated so many times as saw or see. John chapter 1 verse 47, 48. Jesus saw Nathanael coming. He saw Nathanael coming. Jesus said to him, thou was under the fig tree. I saw thee. And this is the word that has been translated saw, see, many times. It occurs all over in the New Testament. And for some reason, in Romans chapter 6, it is translated as the word know. And obviously there's a meaning of see involved, because in the same book of Romans 1 verse 11, it's translated here, for I long to see you. It's not talking about long to know you, but it says I long to see you. And interestingly, sometimes we translate it as the word sure in Romans 2 verse 2. We are sure that the judgment is such and such. And these are the many times it's been translated, but that's sufficient for you to have an idea that the word ideo in verse 9 of Romans 6 is an emphasis on the ability to see. Not just the ability to receive and understand the facts. It occurs again in verse 16 of Romans 6. Do you not know? Do you not see that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave? So what's the emphasis here? From ginosko, which means to understand and to receive this consciousness. This consciousness must enter into our spirits and into our heart, where our heart begins to see. You know, when we say, I know you, in the English, it doesn't really convey everything. And if I were to ask you, do you know John Howard? You would say, yes, I know, he's the Prime Minister of Australia at the moment. But then I say, do you really know him personally? That's a different question. You would say, no, I don't. You only know his name, you know what he does, you know his job. So the English word know is not expressive enough. So the Greek has many words for know. And so if I ask you a question, I say, do you know John Howard? You say, yes, I know him, he's the Prime Minister of Australia at the moment. You have ginosko know. You have a factual knowledge. But you do not have IDEO, no, which goes deeper. And although the root word is the word see, but the word know here is a knowing that is so intimate, it affects your heart. And so when you close your eyes, you actually are conscious of that knowledge. You know that there are different levels of knowledge. Some knowledge is at a distance from you. Some knowledge, you are firmly convinced. See, all of us have conviction in our heart. There are some things you're not convicted of, but you know about. You're still exploring, not sure whether you really believe that. And it takes time to be convicted that this is right or that is wrong of the things around us. But when you're convicted, that is when the ideal knowing has come into your heart. It is something that is deeper than your head. It affects your emotions. It affects your emotions. And let's say, you know, that he asks you, do you know that, do you know the, let's say, one of your favorite food? And do you know this special recipe of can't think of any food at the moment, and I'm not sure whether I want to go too much into food. And let's say, what's your favorite food, Brian? Who?
Spaghetti bolognese.
Spaghetti bolognese. All right. So, say, do you know what spaghetti bolognese is? Bolognese, nice, what nice, or whatever, is. And Brian says, yes. All of you say, yes, and you're probably ready to go for your lunch now. And we say, yes. You know it up here. You know what it is. You know what it looks like. You can even picture what it looks like, right? That brownish-looking sauce, those white crystal clear, not crystal clear, whitish long spaghetti noodles. And you could smell it if I describe it a little bit more. And before long, your saliva will be dripping and we'll pass the tissues around, right, to wipe your mouth. So, spaghetti bolognese. And so, you know it. But as far as you're concerned, you haven't tasted it yet. So you wouldn't know. Eat yet. And let's say you're from a country that has never seen spaghetti before. I never tasted spaghetti until I was a teenager. You tell me what is spaghetti, I'm not sure. Is that the person's name, right? Like Frank Parity or something like that. And I haven't tasted it. And then long ago when Italian food started coming to Asia, and they have another spaghetti, not just the bolognese one, but there is a seafood one that has a different sauce. And they ask you about, hey, you haven't tasted it? But let's say it's that. And then in the end, you read about it. And I don't know when burgers came here to Australia, whether that's a tradition here, but it's definitely not part of Asian food. The only burgers we heard about when we were teenagers were the burgers we read about in the Beano comics. And they have this burger. And you're always looking, what do they look like? And I have never seen a pie. You read about these pies that they have in the comics, the Dandy and the Beano comics. And you always say, what they taste like. So when McDonald's came to town, there was a long line of Asians who just wanted to taste what a burger is like. Now that you've tasted a burger, you say, well, it's okay, right? It's okay. And so, before that, if you ask me, if I was a teenager, I was 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, you ask me, do you know what a burger is? Yes, I know what it looks like. I know what they do with it. And I know. But that's ginosko. Then after you've been to McDonald's and you come out, do you know what a burger is? Yes. When you say yes, it's different because now you have experienced it, you have tasted it, you have eaten it. That is the ideal level. You are now experiencing it. You see, the problem with many Christian principles is that we know it, but we don't experience it. And it's two different things. The Bible is saying we need to know it to the level that it affects our emotions. It affects our heart. And we actually experience it. It's just like those few moments in time sometimes when you're praying or you're reading the Bible. You know how many times we read the Bible and then you read about what Jesus has done. And yes, you're touched in certain extent. But there are times sometimes when the presence of God is so strong and you read about what Jesus has done for us and what He has paid a price for and all that He has gone through. It brings tears to your eyes. Why is that? Because at that time the ideal experience is so much stronger. That's the ideal experience. And so, what God has done and the grace of God for our life should enter into a deeper level in verse 9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, he's talking about experiencing this, seeing this, always seeing yourself as up there. Like David, I saw the Lord always at the throne. Then in the last word here, in verse 11, translated as the word reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin. The word reckon is another Greek word altogether, the third one. And it's the word logisomai. L-O-G-I-S-O-M-A-I. And it means to be firmly convicted of the reality of it and to also begin to walk in the reality of it. As if it is real in your life. It is an accounting word in the Bible. It's just like right now, if I ask you, you know, how much money do you carry? You may just carry $10 or $20 or $50 or so in your pocket. But I say, you know, how much money do you have in your bank account? You may have a few hundred dollars. You may have $1,000, whatever. And you have it. And I say, show it to me. You can't. Because it is not with you. But yet, it is yours. And anytime you could draw it out if you want. Let's say you got $300 in your bank account. And you only carry $5 with you right now. In reality, you do have $300. But right now, physically, you only have $5. But you're firmly convinced that that $300 is yours. I can say, if you can show it to me, it's not yours. You say, no, it's mine. It's definitely mine. It's in this bank statement. I say, how real is this bank statement? It's printed with ink. This is not money. You can't go and use your bank statement to buy groceries. But yet, you know, it's yours. That is logisomai. It's yours with a firm conviction without a doubt. No one would doubt it when you see a bank account and you know that's what the bank tells you, is it signs with your bank book, everything else, you're firmly convinced. We are so used to the system that when the numbers there tell you this is what you have in your account, you say, yes, I do. We don't even question that. Right? And that's logisomai. Now, I have a few illustrations to show you how it works in a time 02 in a reality. Leave it there. I need these things. And go to that. And sometimes the reality comes to us in such a way, God is in the center and that is where we live in the outskirts, the past, present and the future. Now, notice that even though we are on the outside, when you begin to experience God, like, let me see whether that's far enough there. Yep. And, okay, it's, okay. And there's a reality there. And, okay, now look, I'm facing this way, opposite from the screen, right? And I'm using right now, for those of you listening to this message, a laser, infrared laser thing. And I'm pointing at a mirror facing away from the projection screen. How is it that I'm pointing this way, and yet you see the red dot on the screen, right? And I can be near to this side and far away from that side of the screen. And I could be here and yet I could be pointing here. Because that screen is a different reality. Let's say that screen is in the spirit realm. I can't touch it. All I see is this image in a mirror. But whatever I do with this image, I can... it actually affects the reality up there. The two realities are connected. Except that one is in the future, I'm in the present. But when I move into God, I move into that dimension of reality, where that picture is so real to me, it's in my consciousness, and I know it's going to come to pass. And it's a two-way traffic. And it's real. And you can actually contact it with your spirit man, just as I can contact it with this infrared beam. Let's go to the next picture here. And in the next one, in 03. And you see how that, let's say you're this person walking, and the first level of consciousness comes to you. That's the word ginosko, know. And then as you walk with God, you see, this consciousness must surround us. Then you go to the next stage of seeing, IDO. It is now affecting your heart. And you are emotionally affected, but not all your major decisions in life are made based on that yet. Because your feet is not affected yet. And then you move into logisomai. You're fully affected. Every decision in your life is now affected by that experience of that. You're surrounded by a cloud of this reality in God. The opposite of it is death. The moment Adam and Eve fell into sin, death started operating in your body. Started affecting them. And Romans 6 says, the moment you're in Christ, the life and the miracle working power of God is not affecting you. The opposite. And it's, as long as you're conscious of it and you allow it to soak deep into you, into the logizomai level, where the conviction is there, for faith is the conviction of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when that becomes a reality in your own little bubble, outside the bubble, you see what happens? You enter into the dimension of God now. And you're now living in that spiritual dimension. And soon, the physical will catch up with you. But you walk in that dimension of the power of Christ and His resurrection life, and everything in your life will flow along. Let's pray. Father, we